Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Well, Merry Christmas. I love Christmas Sunday. I think it's a great, great time. I love the whole thing that we've done. I love around here because we celebrate Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. And we just keep giving and keep talking about that. I love everything that we've done when it comes to reaching our community and the things that you've put on. This has been an amazing, amazing season of giving. Being able to give 100 families Thanksgiving dinners, being able to host an event called What Christmas is All About, or what are this? Well, I forgot what we called it, but it was great. And it was just wonderful. And today, don't miss out on this offering. This is a great, great opportunity. I got a note from a couple little girls who weren't going to be able to be here, but they wanted to participate in this. And so it says, Pastor, can you please make sure that these go in the box for the orphans? We'll be at our dad's house, won't be able to be in services. And so they left those little red boxes for me, and I put them in the morning service. I think it is so wonderful that we are participating in that. Now listen, when we do this right after the service, at the end of the service, we'll have people come up. This is it's Jesus' birthday, you understand. And so what we decided to do several years ago was just make sure that we gave a present to Jesus on his birthday. The idea of this box is this, that what we're going to do is, the Bible says this, if you give unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've given unto us. And we have several orphanages or children's homes that we support around the world. We have one in Tlalpa, Mexico, the Bethsaida Children's Home. That's what we're supporting this year. We have one in Africa, Uganda, Africa, the Soap Children's Home. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. We have one in Nepal. The James and Holly Tamang are there, and we have a children's home that we support there. We have one that we're beginning to help support in Fiji. It's an exciting thing to touch people's lives. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you've given unto the least of these, my brethren, you've given unto me. And so we've given you out those little red boxes. We want you to take those little red boxes, put something in there, and come and give it. It could be a quarter. It could give. Anybody could participate in giving. That's the wonderful thing about giving. Anybody can do it. Can you say amen to that? You can always give. You may not be able to give a lot, but you can give and be part of reaching around the world and giving something to Jesus. So what we'll do at the end of the service is we'll do this in an orderly way. We'll try to do this orderly. It actually took place pretty good in the first service. People actually obeyed. This was an amazing thing. And I mean, Baptists doing right. It was an amazing thing. So what we'll do is we'll have people from this area come up, and you just go row by row and drop your thing in there as the music plays, and there'll be some nice Christmas song playing, and maybe Joy to the World or some other song, whatever they have on the agenda, and then you'll start and you'll go here. Now, the deal is this. Now, Brian, you've got to watch this, all right? This one is the one closest to you. So don't go to that one. No, Brian, you come to this one. So you get up, you walk around, you come back. It's sort of like this. Now, watch. You start off here. Now, this is very important. You start off, if you're here, you go up, you drop it in the box, and then you go back to your seat. You got that? Good. So that's very simple. And so if we do that, then we can do that all in order. And then afterwards, we'll sing some Christmas song and we'll all be dismissed and everything will be well. And we'll have given a wonderful Christmas present, a birthday present to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love being part of a church that gives. I love it. In our early Sunday school class, I teach a Sunday school class at 8:30 in the morning for older people, and they always bring food. And right as I was getting ready to go, a lady said, "Hey, Pastor," a Filipino lady came in and said, "Pastor, did you get any of my food?" And I turned around and no, I hadn't. And she said, "Lumpia. Does anybody know what lumpia is?" Oh, is God good to have invented lumpia? And so she had lumpia up there. She had a whole bowl of it. And then she had this stuff that looks like angel hair. What is that stuff called? Ponce. See, now you'll say it six times and I'll say it wrong, but it's really good stuff. And so she put that on a plate and I ate that right before I came to preach. That was not a good idea. But our church gives. The church. I got this morning. This is sin in cellophane. This is amazing stuff. This is coffee bread, but inside there's like just killer stuff in there. And I said to the lady who gave it to me, Cindy gave this to me this morning, I said, I want you to know that I appreciate that. I'll eat that. I think it's disgusting. Don't you, when Christians, I don't think it's a right thing for Christians to diet between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I think there's something ungodly about that, sinful about that. I'm very disgusted with Pastor Shore this time of year. Do you realize he's had the nerve in the last 30 days to lose like 20 pounds? He's so stinking thin, you don't even know he's here. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right, and I think he's going to repent after New Year's and get back into eating again. But it's wonderful. We get to be in a church where people give, and that's what we should do. Giving, Christmas is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and God giving us his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's given us so much, and we have so much to be thankful for. I don't know about you, but I've gotten all of my Christmas shopping done. Have you got your Christmas shopping done? I got it all done. Thank God for Amazon.com. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Amazon.com, you go on there, you say, I want that. Of course, I still go out. I went to Walmart. You have to go to Walmart at least one time during Christmas. You have to walk in a mall just to watch people. It's nuts what they do. And just enjoy the whole atmosphere of Christmas. It's a wonderful time of year because it's all focused on giving. I've gotten something for everyone except my wife. That's exactly right. Somebody said you're not done, and if I didn't, I would be done. But we will. I never know what to get my wife. I really never know what to get my wife. She's a wonderful lady, but I've been with her for 38 years. I've gotten her everything. She's got me. I've gotten everything I can think of. And I've tried my best to think of other things that I could get for my wife. A few years ago, this is like 20 years ago, I did something very unique. She grew up loving Roy Rogers. How many of you know who Roy Rogers? Oh, that's a godly crowd. The rest of you have missed out on life. But Roy Rogers was a cowboy hero from the 1940s to about the 1970s. And my wife grew up watching him on TV and loved him. She wanted to marry him. When she grew up, she got something much better. She grew up watching Roy Rogers. And one day we were driving through. They used to have a Roy Rogers Museum in Victorville, California. And when Matthew was 10 and Joshua was 8, we stopped by the Roy Rogers Museum, and Roy Rogers was there. Nobody else was there, just Roy Rogers, his son Dusty, and a secretary. They were there, and we walked in. It was just our family and them. And my son Joshua said, my wife is standing right next to me, and Matt, and Hope wasn't born yet, so it's got to be like 26 years ago. We're standing there, and Joshua looked up at him and said, "Are you really Roy Rogers?" He said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "My mother's in love with you." It's great. It was great. He said, "She wanted to marry you," and she said, "He said, oh, I broke a lot of hearts when I married Dale," and so we had a great little conversation with him. But that Christmas, I decided I'm going to get a bunch of Roy Rogers stuff, and I got it for Anna. It was a surprise. That was like a surprise, but it's just hard. Last year, this is a unique thing for your wife for Christmas. Just in case you're like me, I got my wife manure. I did. My wife likes to garden. And so I thought, what am I going to get her? What am I going to get her? And so, and you might think, I know you thinking, well, that gift stinks. But I decided I wanted to get my wife something really that she'd like. And so I had a gardener that's in our church. His name's John David. John David met with us and met with me, and I had him deliver a whole ton of dirt. And we made a big section of our backyard into a garden that's all irrigated and stuff. And she thought it was the greatest thing in the world. She really did. So, and I got her shovels, and I got her little things that you twirl and make dirt move, and got her rakes, and I got her all sorts of stuff. She just loved that. But I can't think of something. So if you think of something for me to give her for Christmas that's unique, tell me about it, and then you'll be a help to me. Say, what's that got to do with the message? Everything. It's all about Christmas. This is a season of giving. And today I want to talk to you not about the gifts that you give to the Lord, but the gifts that he's given to you. Let's read the Christmas story. We're in Matthew chapter 1 this morning. Matthew chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 18. I should have told you that earlier. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible tells us, of course, that God gave us his son. But when he gave us his son, he gave us with his son so many other gifts. The Bible says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to think of this. The angel came, said she was going to be she was going to have a baby, and this baby's name was going to be Jesus. And she had to explain that to Joseph. Now, they had a binding contract. This was called the espousal period. It was an engagement, but it was a binding contract that said that she would be faithful to him, and he would be faithful to her, and there'd be nobody else, and they would be married. She made the commitment that she would be a virgin. Now, she has to go to Joseph, and she has to explain to Joseph, I'm pregnant. And to say to that to Joseph, but you don't understand, I've never been with a man that God placed his Messiah inside of me. God placed the seed within me, and I am the child that I have is the Son of God. Now the Bible says in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, because he was considered her husband because they had this promise, this legal commitment, this binding commitment between them. Her husband being a just man and not willing to put her away publicly or to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So he's thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? She's telling me she's never been with a man. She's pregnant. Look what this is going to mean. Look, what is she talking about? Listen, he had a hard time believing what the angel had said and what God was doing. Don't get upset when you're dealing with somebody and trying to tell them about Jesus Christ and they have a hard time accepting the truth. You need to understand what our God does is supernatural. What our God does is amazing. And it's hard for people to comprehend. It's hard to explain to somebody who has always been taught, for example, that good works will get you to heaven, to explain to them that good works have nothing to do with you getting to heaven. And the first time a person hears that, it's a difficult thing for them to receive. Pastor Matt was talking to me a couple years ago. We were talking about a good friend of ours. He went out to lunch with him, and he said as he was, I was talking to him at lunch. I said, do you understand what the Bible said? He said, I've heard you say it over and over again, that we're sinners and that we deserve to go to hell, and the only way we can get saved is by grace, by putting our faith and trust totally and completely in Jesus Christ. And he said, I heard that, and I understand what you're saying. It's just hard for me to wrap my mind around that, Because I've been taught, he grew up as a Catholic, I've been taught all my life that I have to do certain things in order to earn salvation. Don't get upset with somebody because it's difficult to grasp that. Mary came to Joseph and said, hey, I'm pregnant. And God's the one that made me pregnant. Joseph had a hard time with that. And so he's thinking about it. How am I going to divorce her? How am I going to do this without hurting her and without making her up to public ridicule? What am I going to do? And the Bible said God had to intervene. In verse 20 it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He said, listen, I've sent my Holy Ghost to down, and that which she's telling you is true. And so you can take her. It's good. It's right. She's a holy virgin girl. And finally, he accepted that truth. The Bible says in verse 21, and she brought forth a son. And she shall bring forth, a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Listen to this, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, help me to explain your gifts that you've given to us, and help us to use the gifts that you've given to us, and see how important that is. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God has given us gifts. One of the most unusual gifts, and one of the greatest gifts that I've ever received for Christmas was one Christmas when I walked into my office. I walked into my office, and on my desk was a camouflage shotgun, double-barreled shotgun. Cool gun. I mean, really, it was nice, and it said on there, Merry Christmas, Troy. Troy was a friend of mine, in fact, a member of this church for many years. He met his wife here in this church. I had the privilege of marrying he and his wife. I watched and helped them raise their family. Good friend. He left this gift. I think it's about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe more. But he left this gift. It was a wonderful shotgun. You say, preacher, you carry a gun? Yes, I do. You say, well, I didn't think preachers carry guns. This one does. Well, I didn't think that people in church carried guns. In this church, they do. I think it's a wonderful thing to have guns. In fact, I don't just have a shotgun. I like that for skeet. I like that to kill birds. I really do love to shoot skeet. I've gone out shooting skeet with my wife several times. She always beats me, and that scares me. She always like 5 out of 5, and I'm 4 out of 5. We have other guns. I have a 44. 44, nice gun. I've got all my kids' guns. My wife, a couple years ago, I got my wife a pearl-handled .38 special. This is cool. She thinks she's Patton. We've gotten them guns, and we've taught them how to use their guns. So we taught them out. I think it's terrible to be irresponsible with guns, but I think good Christian people ought to own guns. You say, really? Yeah, I do. In fact, I was talking to somebody after the first service this morning. He said, listen, we can get together. He's trained in gun management and trained very, very good with dealing with guns. So he said, if you're serious, we can teach. We can have a gun training course for the people of this church. And I said, that's a wonderful thing. So we're talking about maybe mid-February doing that, teaching our people how to use guns responsibly and how teaching children. We used to take our children out and shoot at targets and take them out and make sure they understood gun safety and gun responsibility. But I think it's really important. I really am thankful for the Second Amendment. If you're thankful for the Second Amendment, say amen. I'm so thankful for it, and I get really concerned when I hear about politicians wanting to regulate guns. Understand this. If you regulate guns, the only people that will obey those regulations are law-abiding people. The criminals who shoot people and the terrorists who kill people will not be obedient to those laws. Do you understand that? We need to understand that. That's a reality. Do you realize that the Second Amendment was given to us specifically? And you may be thinking, is this a Christmas message? Yes, it is. It is. But listen, the Second Amendment was given to us. People say, well, you can't use a .44 to go hunting. No, I didn't get a .44 to hunt. I got a .44 to protect. If somebody comes into my house to hurt my family, they're going to meet me in a .44. That's what they're going to meet. You see, that's right. I'm supposed to protect my family. The powers that be are ordained of God. I am given to protect my family, and I have a gun to protect my family. And my wife has a .38 to protect me. The Second Amendment was given to us not so we could hunt, not so that we could shoot targets. This is just historic fact. The Second Amendment was given to us by our founding fathers because they were oppressed by a government that said they couldn't have guns. And so the government could tell them to do whatever they want. The Second Amendment was given to us so we could protect ourselves from people who would infringe upon our God-given rights. And so that's what it's all about. A lot of people don't understand that. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then check it out. Just look historically. Just go back and find out. And don't listen to somebody who wrote in the last 20 years. Look at what our Constitution is all about. Read your Bible and read your Constitution. It's a really good thing. So anyway, back to my story. So Troy gave me the shotgun, and I love the shotgun. And I thought, I'm going to go out and shoot it. So Troy called me up, and Troy said to me, call me up and say, hey, have you used that gun yet? I said, no. He'd say, listen, about a month or two after I had it, he said, let's go out and shoot. Let's go out and shoot that gun. I said, great. He was a Smith & Wesson dealer. It's great to go out and shoot guns with a Smith & Wesson dealer, because when you go, he takes all of his toys with him, which are every gun Smith & Wesson had. And so we drove out to the cliffs way out north of Las Vegas, and I tried my shotgun, and we shot several of his guns, and then as we were shooting, he was just taking delight in the fact that I was shooting. And he was telling me all the different things about the gun and how to be careful. I let that thing go. I let the, what's it called, the thing that you pull back and the bolt. I pulled that thing back, and I let it go, and my thumb got stuck in the middle. I had a big blue blister. So you have to be careful with guns. Anyway, he was showing me, and he was delighting. Now listen, he was delighting in the fact that he was showing me how to use the gift that he had given me. He'd given me this wonderful gift, and he gave it to me so I could enjoy it, so that I could use it. I want you to understand, that's why you give people gifts. So you can watch them enjoy them. So you can watch them use them. Yesterday, my son Joshua is going out of town for a couple of weeks, and so I took their presents over for them last night. My wife and I did. We dropped them off and gave them to them, and watched them open them up. And as I didn't want to just give them to them and say, "Open them up on Christmas." I wanted to see them open them up because I wanted to see them use them. I wanted them to enjoy them. That's why God gives us gifts. God gives us gifts so that we can enjoy them, so that we can use them. I want to look at very quickly, five gifts God's given that he wants you to use, that are ours because of Christmas. Number one, the gift of salvation. God has given us the gift of salvation, and he wants us to use it. Listen, God wants you to understand, he's not concerned about your religious background. He's not concerned about how many times you've been baptized. He's not concerned about how spiritual you think you are, or if you're a member of a church. He's not concerned about that, because none of those things will save you. None of those things will save you. It's amazing how we have twisted what salvation is. And we've turned salvation into a group of religious works, just like any religion. Religion does not save you. He, through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, gave this world salvation. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He suffered. He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. That is why he did what he did. There is no other way that we could be saved. Listen, when my children were very young, I gave them, in fact, when they were born, I gave them to Jesus Christ. When Matthew was born, I said, Lord, he's yours. I give him back to you. God gave him to me. I said, God, he's yours. I want you to use him for your glory. I told him how to get saved while I was holding him the very first time. I did that with each of our children. I gave them to God. When I gave them to God, I gave them to God. The reason I gave them to God is because I knew I could trust God with my children. I knew if I gave them to God, he would treat them right. I knew that if I gave them to God, he would do what was best for them. I gave my children, all of them, my wife and I both, gave our children to God. We pray every day for our children, for our grandchildren, for their spouses. We pray for them and we give them to God on a daily basis. And you know why? It's because I trust them, because he's a good God. He's a loving God. He cares about them. And if I'm going to take my son or my daughter and give them to somebody, I'm going to only give them to somebody I totally and completely trust. And I trust the Lord Jesus Christ with my children. Can you say amen to that? I trust them. So I gave my children to God. I would never put my children in the hands of somebody I did not trust, neither my sons nor my daughters. But here's what God did. God took his child and gave them to us who were terrorists and were wicked and were vile. God did that so that he could live his life and suffer and die to pay the penalty of our sin. He did that for us. That's an amazing God. It's an awesome God that did that. The Bible says he died, was buried, 3 days he laid in the grave. 3 days later he rose from the dead, was seen by hundreds of people. And now the Bible says, now listen, God says, I did that for you. My son did that for you. He's giving you salvation. Don't add anything to it. Don't try to get there some other way. Don't think you can get there without him. The only way you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. So don't neglect that great salvation. Receive it. Use the gift that he's given to you. Not only has he given us his salvation. Can you say amen to that? But not only that, he's given us his Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us this, that right at his birth, the Father sent the Holy Spirit, and he was conceived through the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us this, that the Holy Spirit was upon him throughout his entire life. And the Bible tells us this, that he, since we've been saved, he's given us his Holy Spirit. In fact, take your Bibles and turn back to Matthew chapter. You're in Matthew, so turn to Matthew chapter 3 and read this with me, starting in verse 11. John the Baptist was born. John the Baptist lived. He announced that Jesus was coming. They came to John the Baptist and they said, John, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the one that's sent from God? And he said, no, it's not me. one's coming after me who's greater than me. He says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, listen, I'm baptizing you with repentance, which is just very simply saying that you're changing your mind and you need a Savior. All I'm doing is preparing you for the Savior that's going to come. But when he comes, he's going to baptize you, that is totally immerse you with his Holy Spirit, or if you reject him, with fire. You're either going to receive him and have this Holy Spirit in your life, or you're going to receive God's judgment. Look in verse 12. It says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into garners, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, look, those who receive Christ, he was talking to a mixed group, some who would receive Christ, some who would not receive Christ, but he said, if you receive Christ, you're going to have his Holy Spirit that fills you. If you don't, you're going to receive the judgment of God. Why? Because he gave us the Son. The only way we're going to get to heaven is through Christ. So when we get saved, that he's given us the Holy Spirit, and God wants us to use that gift that he's given to us. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he wants to empower us so that we can do what he wants us to do. He, through his Holy Spirit, will give us love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, but he wants us daily to surrender ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. Now, I used to think that this talk about the Holy Spirit was only for Pentecostals, but that's not the truth. You see, the Bible doesn't teach us that being filled with the Holy Spirit is some weird experience that we have, that we speak in tongues or we do some weird thing or some tingling comes or we get struck by fire or some weird thing happens to us. I used to think that being baptized with the Holy Spirit meant all of that until I read the scriptures. The word baptizing with the Holy Spirit very simply means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God so that you accomplish things in your life that you couldn't accomplish by yourself. And God said, I've given you this gift. He gave it at the birth of Christ. The Holy Spirit came into this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to us to be filled daily so we could be controlled by him. We as Christians need to use the gift God's given to us. Every day we need to surrender to God and say, Father, fill me with your Spirit. Control me that I might be used of you. We have that gift that's given to us by God, his Holy Spirit. And we need to use the gift. He's given us salvation. He's given us his Holy Spirit. Let me show you something else. The Bible tells us this about Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, it refers to Jesus as the Word of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And when he left us his written word. He's given us his word. He's given us his truth because he knows that we need guidance and we need direction and we need leadership in our life. He knows that we can't make it through this life in and of ourselves and we don't know the answers to all the questions. And so what he's done is he's given us his answers in his book. He's given us his word. It's a gift that God's given to us. The world doesn't have the insight that you and I have because we have the word of God. We have the word of God to give us direction, to give us leadership. We can find out what God thinks or where God wants us to go. We can get direction. We as Christians know where we came from because of the word of God. We know why we're here. Because of the word of God. We know where we're going because of the word of God. He's given us his word. We need to use his word. This old black preacher years ago was preaching to his congregation. I don't know if you've ever been in any good black churches, but there's some great preachers that are black preachers. One that came to Liberty, his name was S.M. Lockridge. He used to preach to us, and I just loved the way he preached. Now, he would preach, and as he began to preach, he would sing. And I don't know if you've ever seen this or witnessed this. It's wonderful. He began to sing. He said, "Now I want you to understand. I want you to understand." And people would say, "Yes, amen, preacher. Amen, preacher." Well, this preacher was preaching about the Word of God. And he said, "Brethren," he said, "Brethren, I want you to know the Lord done wrote you a letter." And everybody said, "Amen." Say that with me. Amen. And he said, "The Lord," he said, he backed up again and he said, "I want you to know, brethren, the Lord done wrote you a letter." And they said, "Amen." And he said one more time, he said, "Brethren, I want you to understand, the Lord done wrote you a letter." And they said, "Amen." He said, "Read your mail. God's given you a letter and he wants you to read it." You know, the greatest compliment you can give to any author is to tell him you wrote his book. Sumner Wimp had written several books. He was my mentor. And he said, "Dave, people would tell me all the time, I understood you wrote a book. I understood you wrote a book. I understood you wrote a book." He said, "But what really impressed me is when people would say to me, 'Hey, Sumner, hey, I read your book.'" He'd say, "Hey, really?" And then he wanted to talk to him. Because they cared enough to find out what he thought. God's given you a book, and he wants you to know what he thinks. And you need to let your children's mind be directed by the Word of God. You need to let them know the stories in the Word of God. You need to read them the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. You need to allow God to direct you. God's given you this gift of his Word. Not only that, and we're not going to take a whole lot of time on this point, but God has not just given us his salvation. He's not just given us his Holy Spirit. He's not just given us the Word of God. He's given us his church. Jesus said this, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Jesus gave us this church. You know why? He gave us this church because he knows that you and I can't make it by ourselves. He knows that you and I face temptations every day to do the wrong thing, to go the wrong place, to listen to the wrong things. God knows that. And so he established a place where his family could get together to encourage one another and to love and to good works. I hope you don't miss tonight. Tonight we're going to have fun. We're just going to have fun. Our Sunday evening service tonight, the Sunday evening before Christmas, years ago my family and I were just sitting in our house. If you come to our house at Christmas time, it's absolutely nuts. It's total chaos and just fun. If you can't get together, Matthew Tice and Joshua Tice, and then on my three girls, you can't get them together without just laughing and laughing and talking and just having a good time. We would do crazy things together. In fact, we would come up with ideas and some that we never did, thank God. But we've just done a lot of fun things together, and we thought, you know, it would be great to be able to have the church family as a whole just enjoy some of the ridiculous things that we enjoy together. And so tonight we're going to have a family Christmas evening where we just do a lot of fun things together. There won't be there's not a lot of spirituality to it, but there is. The Bible God wants us to rejoice together. Can you say amen to that? And so we're going to have fun together. We're going to sing songs like Frosty the Snowman and those kind of spiritual things that'll just enlighten your soul. We're going to have a good time together. You know his church? The Bible says that the early church met together for prayer. We do that. And for the breaking of bread. That's the Lord's Supper. We do that. And they got together to hear the teaching of the apostles' doctrine, and we do that. But the Bible also says they met together for fellowship and for praise. If we're going to praise the Lord together, we need to. I need you, and you need me. We need each other. That's what the Bible says. And so the Bible says that not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together together as the manner of some is. Even in the New Testament times, there were people who did not meet together like they should. And the apostle had to write to them and say, listen, don't stop getting together. Get together as much as you can. You know, the early church met together every day of the week to encourage one another. Now, we can't do that because it's practically impossible. But somebody said to me one day, they said, I don't understand why you think we ought to be in church so much. Well, if you don't understand, then I can't explain it to you. I can just tell you this, that the more Christians are together, the stronger bond there is, the more power there is, and the more it strengthens us as individual Christians. And I want that. I wanted my kids to grow up in church where they were surrounded by other kids who loved the Lord and not surrounded by kids who didn't care about the things of God. That's what I wanted. The local church is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ, that child that was born in a manger on Christmas Day. Then the last thing, I love this. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 1, and I want you to see what it says in verse 23. Here's the last thing, and we can look at many other gifts that God's given to us, but I want you to see this. Verse 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." The last thing I want you to see that God's given to us is his eternal presence. God came to this earth as a man, and he said, "Look, since I've come, I will be with you always." Emmanuel is God with us. That is God with you and God with me. God is with us. Listen, there is nobody on this planet that I love more than I love my wife. I love her. I love to be with her. I don't just love her, I like her. I like her. I look at her and I say, "I like you." She said, "Oh, you don't." I said, "I like you. I like you." David likes Anna. David loves Anna. David carves. There's trees that have got the carve in the heart, and DT plus AC. So her last name used to be Craven. One year we were at a youth camp together before we got married, and she left her identification up in the office where we were registered, and it was David Tyson, Anna Craven. And so she said, so over the speaker it said, "Anna Craven, Anna Craven, please come to the office. You have left your identification at the office. Anna Craven, come to the office." And we were on the other side of the youth camp. And then another voice came up and said, "What is Anna Craven?" And another voice said, "David Tice." So anyway, I love her. I love her. I love to be with her. I love to go places. We go on visitation on Tuesday night. I like to go on visitation because I like visitation, but I like to be alone with my wife in the car. God gave me a little sports car, and I like it because she can't get away from me in the sports car. You're driving a minivan, you're driving a truck, she's way over there, but in a sports car, you're like this close. She can't get away. I can get her hand. I just like to be with her. I love her. I love her, and I've given her my life. But let me tell you this, the very best I can do for the person I love the most is this. I stood in front of a preacher. We got married out in her backyard out in Pennsylvania. Huge pine trees above us, had this little arch, beautiful little arch. It was beautiful because I built it, a little arch. Behind us there was a babbling brook. It was just beautiful. We had this little white thing coming down. And she came down this park area that's just came down to where, and I watched her come down. And I stood before a preacher, and he said this. He said, "We're gathered together to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is commended by God and is honorable among all men." Then he looked at me and he said, "David, repeat these words after me." I said, "Okay." He said, I, David, take thee, Anna, to be my wedded wife, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold, from this day forward." I looked at her in her eyes and I said, "From this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love, honor, and cherish till death do us part." And that was the very best I could do. You see, the end of that isn't for eternity, because I can't guarantee her eternity. I can say to her, the very best I can say is, "I'm sticking with you until the day I die. Now, we've talked about this. We've talked about whether we're going to get mansions in heaven and whether we get a choice to be with the person we want to be with the most. I'm sure if I get a choice, I want to be with her more than anybody else in heaven. And but all I can give her, all I can give her is till death do us part. But that's not all that God can give you. Here's what the Bible says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Listen. And yea, this is this God's promise. This is what God can say that you can't say. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When God says to me, David, it's time to go home. God, it's time to go home. It's okay. I'll go with you. I'll go with you. He's going to walk with me for eternity. He lives with me presently in eternity. I dwell with him eternal. He's given me his eternal presence. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you forever. Take advantage of what he's given you. He's given you his eternal presence in this present that he gave us on Christmas Day. God with us. Enjoy the presence of Jesus. Enjoy being with him. Go before him. The Bible says this. The Bible says this, that we can go boldly before his throne of grace and ask him for anything. We can find grace to help in time of need. You live in his presence. Enjoy his presence. Talk to him. Listen, we live in perilous times. You need to go before him all the time. Remember the little lady in Luke chapter 18? The little lady in Luke chapter 18 was oppressed by her enemies, and she went to the judge, and she said, deliver me, deliver me. God says you can go to him anytime and say, deliver me. I want you to know, Christians, in this day and age, should every day, you as a dad, now you listen to me, dad, every day you should be saying, Lord Jesus, lead us not into temptation as a family. Deliver us from the evil one. My wife and I are starting to pray together on a daily basis that God would thwart the evil of terrorists, that God would thwart their evil. God's in control. I'm asking God to protect me and my family, and I'm asking God to thwart terrorism in our country, not because we deserve it, but in his mercy, that he would thwart evil, that he would stop evil from progressing, and that he would make people aware of what's going on. I pray for our policemen and firemen. You ought to be doing that every day for God's protection, for our military men and women. You should be praying that God would put people in office that love him, and that God would, in mercy, bring revival to our nation. You can pray that. And what I'm saying is this. You have is his eternal presence. So take advantage of that. Don't wait till some catastrophe happens and pray for the healing of people that got hurt. Pray for God's vigilant, eternal protection on you and your family, and that he would thwart evil. I beg you to pray that way, because God hears and answers prayer. You have his eternal presence. It's a gift from God. God's given us many gifts. Through this babe that's lying in a manger, we have the gift of salvation. Through this babe, we've received his Holy Spirit. Through this babe, we received his word. We received his church. And we received his eternal presence. Look, my friend Troy was so happy because I used the gift that he gave me. And he got to enjoy me using the gift. God has given you these gifts. Let's use them for his glory. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Father, help us. Help us to use the gifts that you've given to us. I pray if there's somebody in here that hasn't used the gift of salvation, but still relying on their good works to get them to heaven. I pray you'll work in their lives. I pray they'll put their faith and trust in you and ask you to save them. If there's someone here, the Father, as Christians, help us to rely on your Holy Spirit. Help us to be faithful to your church. Help us to read your word. Help us to walk in your presence. Father, help us to just be thankful for what you've done and use the gifts you've given us. And I thank you for them. I ask this in Jesus' name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.